Today we'll hear a story which was told by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami about a poor man and an astrologer. And the poor man was suffering. Just as everyone suffers in this material world, Krishna says that this world is dukkhalayam. Alaya means a place. So it's the place where you come to get your fair share of suffering, come to get your fair share of abuse. And they're the threefold miseries which are inflicted by Durga, who carries the trident and is constantly poking the living entity. So this poor man was suffering. He had no money, he had no means, and he had no future prospect in life. He was so poor, and he was depressed. And then one day, he met an astrologer. And the astrologer looked at this man's chart because he's wondering why he's suffering so much. And he said, actually, I have some really good news for you. You're not a poor man. Your father was the richest person in the whole world. And although you had been separated from him and he died in a distant country, he left his entire inheritance to you. You're a rich man. You're not a poor man. And he said, I know where that treasure is. He said, don't dig for it in the West, in the South. Because in the South, there's the wasp of materialism. Trying to get ahead in material life, Prahlad Maharaj says, Kutrashisha, Shuti Shukam, Mrigatrishni Rupa. He compares the chase after material things to be like running after mirage in a desert. It looks like there's water, but the deer runs and runs and runs, and then he drops dead. Never gets the water. So Prahlad Maharaj says, Kutra, where is it? It's Shruti Sukham. It's happiness you only hear about. So the Karmakandis, those who try to adjust themselves to elevate themselves in the material world, are forever frustrated. Just like a man carrying a great burden on his shoulder. He walks for a mile and then he switches it to the other shoulder. And then he thinks, oh, relief. Much better. But actually the same weight is there. And another mile he has to switch it to his head. So material life is a constant game of adjustment and never happiness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Shinye punye martyalokam vishante evam tri dharma manu prapana gata gatam kama kama labante. You may even make it to the heavenly planets if you have enough frequent flyer miles. You can go there. This is like punya. You get punya in the material world by all kinds of auspicious activities, and then you can go higher, higher, get upgrades in the upper planetary system. But when you use them up, you become persona non grata. You have to board last and you come back down to the earthly planet, start all over again. So he said, don't go for this path. You'll be stung by these wasps and drones. And then he said, in the West, there's mental speculation, trying to reach God on your own, thinking that I'll figure it out. I'll use my great intelligence to find God. And even Brahma, who's the smartest person in the universe, said that after he realized who Krishna was, he knew nothing about Krishna. He said, other people may say they know something about Krishna, but I say, I don't know anything about Krishna. And even if the scientists were able to count all the grains of sand and stars in the sky, still they will not be able to count the transcendental qualities of Krishna, which are unlimited. And therefore he said, Gyane prayasam mudapasya namante eva jivanti san mukaritamba. Bhavadiyavartam, stanestita, shutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita diso, pratichaistrilokyam. That give up the attempt to understand God with your own intelligence. Just surrender and understand that you don't know anything about him. And stay in whatever position you are. and learn from the devotees, listen submissively to the transcendental sound vibration, and soon you'll come to the perfectional stage. So give up this jnani prayasam. And then he said, don't dig in the north, because in the north there's a big black snake called liberation that will swallow you up. The idea of merging into God, becoming one with God. Actually, in the story of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the great hero of the book, Gopakumar, goes out to the abode of liberation, and there he actually sees the form of the Lord. Yes, there's a form even in the Brahman effulgence, and he notices that that form is attracting him. And there's living entities that have already merged into that form of liberation, and they're doing service even there, he says, because they sparkle and they decorate the impersonal form of the Lord. But he was afraid to even look at that form because he didn't want to merge. Devotees want to do service. They don't want to miss a moment of service, and therefore they're very much afraid and wary of this path of merging into the Supreme Personality of Godhead and losing their identity as Krishna Das. So don't dig there, he said. But then he revealed to him there are ample instructions given in the Vedic literature. This is the treasure map that's been passed down. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that the living entity that's loitering in the material world, there's a big sign on the material world, no loitering, just like the one outside 7-Eleven. But still a bunch of people are hanging out here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that these lost living entities, they won't come out on their own. Maya Mugda Jivanahi Swata Krishna Gyan. It's not automatic that they'll come to knowledge. They must be awakened and reminded who they are, where their treasure is. And so this treasure map comes down in the form of these great Vedic literatures and the best of them all, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there he said, if you go to the eastern side where there's the path of bhakti, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. If just a little simple devotion you offer to the Lord, then very quickly you'll attain success. Prahlad Maharaj said this when he was pushed by the demigods in front of Lord Nrisimhadeva, and they said, you try to pacify him. He's so angry, he doesn't listen to us. He came for you. And Prahlad Maharaj, thinking for a while, said, these great demigods offered all kinds of prayers in Sanskrit. They weren't able to please you. They have great qualities in the mode of goodness. I'm born from a demon. What can I do? And then he remembered, Bhaktya Tutosha Bhagavan Gaja Yutapaya, Gajendra, the elephant. He was just an animal, but because he had a little devotion and he called out to the Lord with sincere faith and feeling, the Lord came and he delivered him. So that is the great treasure, bhakti. And he said, if you go there, then very easily you'll get the treasure of your life, which is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the poor man who had been suffering for so long in the material world in great despair, as everyone is in this material world at one time or another, someone may think they're happy for some time with a full tank of gas. You've got vegetables in the refrigerator. You've got money in the bank and you think life is good. But actually, the Bhagavatam says in this material world, there's an ocean of tears and it's cried by all the living entities who are suffering because of separation from Krishna. But when they meet the astrologer, that is the great person, the open-minded Mahatma who comes to give others the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. And he receives the information that you're not a poor man. How long does it take for a poor man to become happy when he finds out he's rich? In other words, he's poor, he's suffering, no prospect in life, no money, and then someone comes along and says, actually, you're a billionaire. We just found it out. There was a clerical error. You're a billionaire. How long approximately, we'll ask Manabhata Prabhu, does it take for such a person to change his mood in life? Approximately how long? Approximately, let's hear it again. Approximately, like that. And that's exactly what happens. And the person thinking I had to go to kindergarten, I had to go to school, they made me go to high school, I had to go to college to get a job, and now I got to get a stupid job. Job stands for just over broke. I got to work for the rest of my life. The IRS might call. I don't even like my family that much. What's life for anyway? And then they meet a devotee and they give them the information that actually you don't belong to this world at all. You belong to the spiritual world. Your only business in life is to serve Krishna. All the debts that you had for billions of lives that you couldn't pay off can be paid off. Sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam pariyahrita kartam. If you just surrender to Krishna, to Mukunda, he delivers everything and he says, Masuchaha. Everyone say Masuchaha. Do not worry. Do not fear. Do not hesitate. Just surrender to me. You'll be happy. It's sweet surrender. Everything will be fine if you just give it up to me. Become my devotee. So this is the great news that's being passed down to us. And in the Gayatri Mantras, in the Guru Gayatri Mantra, there's a word, Prachodayat, for those of you who chant this mantra. And this word, Prachodayat, means to encourage or to impel forward. And this is a beautiful word to contemplate. Encourage, the word encourage has a root word, kor, which means the heart. Everyone in this world needs encouragement because constantly we're berated by our own mind. The mind telling us, you can't do this, you can't move ahead, you're nothing. And then from all sides we get discouragement in this world. So everyone needs support. Everyone needs confidence. Everyone needs hope. And this prachodayat, this is the mood of the spiritual world to encourage others, to lift them up, to help them move forward towards the spiritual world. That's the whole program. And Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, starts it off with the playing of his flute, which enlivens every living entity coming down from the spiritual world. Brahma, born into complete darkness and praying, where is my source? What is my duty in life? He hears the words tapa. And Divya Saraswati comes before him. Uvacha puritas tasmai tasya Divya Saraswati kama krishnaya govinda hey gopi janityapi. Bhalabhaya priyavanir mantram te dasati priyam. Tapas tam tapa etena tapas siddhir bhavishyati. And she says, if you just take this mantra, which is the divine essence of everything, and you chant it, then all perfection will come to you. You don't need anything else. Everything else there in the mantra. And so Krishna passes down that flute song. It goes into the ear holes of Brahma. And from Brahma emanates the Omkar. And then comes the Kama Gayatri Mantra. And these mantras are passed down through the Sampradaya. And this word Sampradaya actually means the complete gift. That this gift of encouragement is coming down from Krishna in the spiritual world. One person who's enlivened by the sound vibration, who receives it with an open heart, who has an appreciating capacity to absorb that mantra and live in the mantra and live by the instructions of the Shastra, becomes so encouraged. What do you do when you're encouraged? What do you do when you've just won $1 billion? You don't tell anybody, right? Is it? Or do you run around and you say, guess what? I'm rich. Let's go for a ride. Everyone, you want to tell everyone. As soon as you get the great gift of encouragement, it comes out of every pore of your body. You become encouraged. You want to tell everybody. That's how the Sampradaya spreads. It's the overflow of encouragement that's coming down from Krishna in the spiritual world, being passed down from one person to the next. So much encouragement just in the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. One person who sits with sincere feeling chanting the holy name of the Lord and hears the names Hare Krishna and Rama realizes there's no other sound like this anywhere in the universe. And then from within the heart, Krishna is empowering that person. Tesham satati yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami bhuti yogam tam, yenamam upayantite. He's giving intelligence. He's saying, come forward. Go home, back to Godhead. Don't stay a minute longer in this material world. Nothing to see here. It's all been done and more in the material world. You don't have to stay. What an encouragement that is to get that sound vibration passed on to you from someone who's received it, 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 all the way back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same vibration passed down just like an electric current coming through a copper wire. Advaita Acharya couldn't stand it when he saw the state of the world, how people were suffering. And he prayed to Krishna, offering Tulsi leaf and Ganges water over and over again, crying out at the top of his lungs, please, Krishna, come and save the people of this world. Only you can do it. And this is the proper method for chanting Hare Krishna. One has to cry out with full feeling from the heart, Krishna, please come and save me. So when Advaita Acharya called, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him and he descended to this world. He appeared in Navadvip Dham with all his associates ready to spread the Sankirtan movement. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged everyone everywhere he went on a mission of encouragement. He said, but he said it much louder with much more enthusiasm. He said, what a simple movement we have here. It's not complicated at all. There's only two parts to our whole movement. Chant Hare Krishna and teach it to others. And if you make a career out of that, you'll never want for anything. Chaitanya, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate. Tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. Don't worry about it. Just think of me. And think of me in this age of Kali Yuga, sitting at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada means to spread the Sankirtan movement. It means to put all your intelligence and your strength and whatever organizing abilities you have into seeing how far and wide one can spread the Sankirtan movement. Chant Hare Krishna, teach others. And then came Nityananda Prabhu, who was the emissary of bhakti, who went door to door. Yes, door to door. Everyone say, door to door. There's people sitting out there in Irvine right now. I know because we went yesterday and met some of them. And they're simply waiting for people to come and knock on their door. Because what are they doing in there? Well, as far as I can see, not much of anything. I mean, the first place we went yesterday, I have to tell you, we went to one apartment building. And a young man opened the door. He was very surprised to see me at the door. He was from Jordan. A very nice young Muslim man from Jordan. And so I told him why we were there, and he invited us in. He said, come on in. So I went and I sat down at the table. They were having a smoke, and they were eating some fish preparation I could smell. And so we began a discussion about what we were doing, and there were four of them in there living in this apartment. No furniture. Must have been students from Jordan. And I talked to them for about 10 minutes, and every one of them wanted a Bhagavad Gita. And they took the Bhagavad Gita, and I asked them to chant the Maha Mantra, and I left. And then a while later, when we walked past them, they were sitting out on their porch, which was part of the apartment. We walked the other way, and they saw us coming by, and they held up the book and said, we're reading it! Hare Krishna. And I was thinking, how else would they have gotten a chance to get Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita? If the devotees didn't go out and just knock on the doors and take a chance and just go from every door. This is what Lord Nityananda did. He went from every town, every village, every nook and corner of the world. It's so touching, actually, to find these people who are sitting there in less than human conditions sometimes. And then to see that they get a chance to say Hare Krishna. The next morning when you're chanting japa, this will repeat in your mind. You'll remember that you're part of this mission of Lord Nityananda. And here's the great Nityananda Ashtakam. We'll just sing this together to remember Lord Nityananda and ask for his blessings. Sharach Chandra Brantim Spuraramalakantim Gajagatim Hari Premon Matam Trita Parama Sattvam Smita Mukham Sada Gurnam Netram Karakalita Vetram Kalibidam Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Rasanam Agaram Svajana gana sarvasva matulam tadiyaika prana pratima vasuda jana vapati sada premon badam paramavita tam mandamanasam Vajenityanandam Bhajanataru Kandam Niravadhi Sachi Sunu Preshtam Nikila Jagadishtam Samanayam Kalau Majaj Jivo Dharanakarano Dhammakarunam Harir Akhyanadva Bhavajaladikarvon Matiharam Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Aye Prathandrinam Kalikalushinam Kinubhavita Tata Prayashchitam Rachaya Yadanaya Sataime Vrajanti Twam Itam Sahabhagavata Mantrayatiyo Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Yateshtam Re Brata Kuru Hari Hari Dvanan Anisham Tato Vasam Saram Buditaranadayo Mailaget Idam Bahu Spotair Atatiratayanya Pratigraham Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Balat Sangsarambo Nidiharanakumbod Bhavamahom Satam Sreya Sindhu Natikumuda Bandhum Samuditam Kala Shreni Spurjat Tamirahara Surya Prabhamaham Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Natantam Gayantam Harim Anuvadantam Patipati Vrajantam Pashyantam Swamapinadayantam Janaganam Prakurvantam Santam Sakuranandadriktam Prakalanad Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Subibranam Bratu Karasarasijam Kamolataram Mito Vaktra Laukach Chalita Paramananda Hridayam Brahmantam Madhuryar Ahahamadayantam Purajanan Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Rasanam Madaram Rasikavarasad Vaishnavadanam Rasagaram Saram Patitatitaram Smananata Param Nityanandashtakam Idamapurvam Patatiyas Tamangiri Dvandvab Jamspuranta Nirantasya Hridaye Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajanatarukandam Niravadhi Go pray, Manande. And now we need someone to read the translation. You have the microphone there? Give it to Pralatananda Swami, if you wouldn't mind.
I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, whose bright face mocks the full autumn moon, whose pure complexion glistens, whose gait is like that of a maddened elephant, who is always intoxicated in Krishna prema, who embodies pure spiritual energy, whose face holds a gentle smile, whose eyes are always rolling due to his absorption in Krishna prema, whose lotus hand holds a glowing staff, and who by the performance of Krishna Nama, Krishna Sankirtan, pierces the influence of Kali Yuga. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is the mainstay of all the rasas, who is everything to his devotees, who is beyond compare, who is the master of both Vasudha and Janava Devi, who considers him more dear than their own lives, who is always maddened in Krishna Prema, and who is unknown only to those of meager intelligence. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is very dear to Sri Satchinandana, who is worshipped by the entire universe, who is the embodiment of happiness, who possesses infinite mercy for delivering the souls who are drowning in the age of Kali, and who, by the performance of Sri Harinam Sankirtan, thwarts the progressing false pride of the ocean of repeated birth and death. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who said to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, "Hey, Brother Gauranga, what will be the destination of the sinful souls of Kali Yuga, and how will they be redeemed? Please devise a method by which they will easily attain you." I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who wandered around Bengal and approaching the door of each and every home, raised his arms up high and exclaimed, "O brothers, all of you should eternally perform Sri Harinam Sankirtan together. By doing so, I will take the responsibility to deliver you all from the ocean of material existence." I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is the Agastya Muni, who forcefully swallows the ocean of repeated birth and death, who is a rising full moon, which increases the ocean of the saintly person's welfare, and who is a sun which dissipates the darkness of ignorance cast by the various classes of miscreants. I eternally worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who wandered on every path in Bengal, dancing, singing, and calling out, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol," and who lovingly bestowed merciful sidelong glances upon those who were not compassionate to even their own selves. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who held the supremely soft lotus hand of his brother, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, whose heart became filled with the highest bliss. When the two brothers gazed into each other's faces, and who wandered here and there, delighting the townspeople with his sweetness, may Sri Nityananda Prabhu place his lotus feet in the heart of one who lovingly recites this unprecedented Nityananda Astika, which is the reservoir of rasa, greatest treasure of the most exalted Rasika Vaishnavas, and the storehouse of the essence of Bhakti Rasa.
Haribo!
Thank you, Marish. That was beautiful.
Bhaje Nityananda,
Pajana taru kandam diravarhi.
So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda virtually opened a marketplace to spread the holy name all over the world, and their goal was every town and village all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada came in that line down from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and came with the great treasure map to lead people back to home, to encourage everyone, don't stay in this dark material world. Tamasi ma jyotirgamai. Go for the light. He brought his books, piled onto the ship. He had no other possessions, no contacts in America, but he knew that people had to have this knowledge. He had this intense desire, the same kind of desire he instilled in his disciples, like Sudama and Chintamani, who right here in Los Angeles in 1970 had just gotten married, and then they went up to meet Prabhupada in his room, and Srila Prabhupada told them, go to Japan. And they said, but Prabhupada, we don't speak Japanese. And Prabhupada said, when your house is burning down and you need help and you don't speak the local language, what do? Somehow or other, you get the message across. And with that kind of faith in the order of their spiritual master, they went across the ocean to Japan, which was very isolated at the time, and they caused the Hare Krishna explosion. And this is the great secret. One doesn't have to be a Sanskritist. One doesn't have to be learned in all kinds of languages. One simply has to have the desire to fulfill the order of the spiritual master. Follow in the footsteps. Bejare munio tagre bhagavan tambatoksajam sattvam vishuram shemaya kalpante yinitaniha. Suta Goswami says, you don't have to be a great sage, but if you simply follow in the footsteps of the great sages, catch up their instruction, then you're eligible for the exact same result that they got. So Srila Prabhupada came following the footsteps of Lord Nityananda, going town to town, door to door, and spreading this greatest wealth, reminding people that you don't belong in this material world. So now it's our job to pass it on. It's our privilege. It's our opportunity. This is the greatest opportunity that was ever given, that Srila Prabhupada came here and he said, help me. Help me spread this all over the world. The books are already made. He did everything. He just said, help me spread it everywhere. So now we have this Bhagavad Gita as it is, the most perfect book in the world. And the full set of Srimad Bhagavatam, verily this is a miracle that we have these books. If anyone's ever tried to write a book, anyone? Of course, Gurudas has written a book. Was it easy? Let the record show, Prahladananda Swami in the front row said no. Even making a pamphlet is difficult. What to speak if you have to work together with two or three people? Everyone will argue over the font and certain choice of words and so forth. It's very difficult. Somehow or other, Prabhupada manifested these books in a very short amount of time, in about 11 years. Volumes of books, the Srimad Bhagavatam, not only that, they're printed into many languages. And the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most rare book in the world, an insight into the life of God who came here as a devotee to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and relish the topmost mellows of the spiritual world. These books, they're the most valuable thing that we have. This is the basis of our entire movement. The books, the books, the books. And look what's happening. You take the books door to door and people will take them because little Jiva is looking everywhere for a little bit of happiness. And if you just show them the books and say, look, there's happiness inside these books, why wouldn't they buy it? Coca-Cola does the same thing. They have a big bottle up on the sign that says, open a bottle of happiness. And it's one of the biggest companies in the world. Everyone falls for that, don't they? Open a bottle of happiness. But this is the real happiness. This is a fellow that was from the Middle East. And now he's got a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas in his house. This is Shraddha Devi Dasi. She, along with many other devotees at our temple in ISV, they go door to door with sets of books. And when someone lets them in, big mistake, they walk in with the books. They set them down and they say, you have to take these books. And they start talking about them. You know what? People take them. And what a huge gain that is for the person. I mean, how else can you get such a smile? this person happened to be a seeker. He was just sitting there waiting, and now he's got the set of books. And sometimes the devotees are taking, they'll give the whole Bhagavatam, whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, and a set of Gornitai deities as well. They get everything all at once. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in mind. Go door to door. Prabhupada says it in the purport to Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Everyone should go door to door. He said it many, many times. And look at this, what happens. Here's another fellow. These are two devotees that are so eager to go to Sankirtan. Every day they're going out, knocking on doors, meeting people. And people are eagerly taking the Bhagavad Gita. And look at this. Anyone can do it. No excuses. This is Flickr. Flickr's one of our book distributors. She goes out. She has a little backpack and she does her job. That's all we ask. Just do your job. Here's Yogi. The late great Yogi passed away recently, but not before he did some major damage here in the world by distributing books wherever he went. So Vaishnavism is a culture of encouragement. And this word prachodayat, if you decline it in a different way, just like you say sadhana, and you can say sadaka, that's the person who does the sadhana. Prachodayat means to encourage, to enthuse. So a person who enthuses others is a prachodaka. Everyone say prachodaka. So all of us are prachodakas. That's our job, to enthuse others in Krishna consciousness. First, we have to enthuse ourselves, and then we can go out and enthuse others. That's what Shukadeva Goswami was doing. The great sages came forward, and it's a bewildering world. Parikshit Maharaj got cursed. Everything was going fine. He ran the whole world. He had everything he needed, and then he was cursed. And that will happen to everybody. Everybody. It's built in to this world. So we need this kind of encouragement coming down from the spiritual world, from the lotus mouth of Shukadeva Goswami and his representatives, and everybody needs it in the material world. Prabhupada wrote thousands of letters, and if you go through them and look at them over and over again, what he was doing was encouraging everyone. I'm very glad to see your enthusiasm in the service of Lord Krishna, and I am sure that this spiritual intoxicant of Krishna consciousness will encourage many, many students who are actually in search after the absolute truth. It is the grace of Lord Krishna that he has put me in contact with so many rare souls who are taking Krishna consciousness in all seriousness. And I am confident that in the future, all my student boys and girls will preach this Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world more successfully. I also, these are all separate letters, samples of how Prabhupada spoke to others. I also very much appreciate the work you are doing in trying to promote my books. And I'm very glad to know that the new BTG is selling well. These publications are the backbone of our movement, and if we can distribute them successfully, then everything will be all right. I am happy to hear that you are so anxious in helping to start a temple. Your enthusiasm is very encouraging to me. There is great need for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, and we need so many enthusiastic boys and girls for carrying on this great mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Over and over again, one letter after another, one conversation after another, prachodayat, encouragement, encouraging from the core of one's heart to go on in Krishna consciousness despite any obstacles to continue. And devotees everywhere are part of this culture of encouragement. You see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Kala Krishnadas went with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his travels to South India. And while he was there, Kala Krishnadas fell down. He was with Mahaprabhu personally. And he got attracted by some gypsy women and he ran off to their camp. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there personally and grabbed him by the hair and pulled him back. And when they got back to Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu called a meeting. He called Kala Krishnadas in and some other devotees. And he said, just see the character of Kala Krishnadas. As he was traveling with me as my servant, he went away, chased after some gypsy women. He said, I have no more service for him. He can do whatever he likes, but I'm done with him. And Kala Krishnadas hung his head and began to cry profuse tears. And Mahaprabhu simply got up and walked away. And then Damodar, Jagannanda, Mukunda, and Lord Nityananda conspired. They came together as a group with other devotees and they said, let's engage Kala Krishnadas in some service. So they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, we need somebody to go back to Navadvipa and tell them that you've come back from South India, because everyone's waiting to hear when you're coming back and they want to come see you. Can we engage somebody? And Mahaprabhu said, do as you like. So they went to Kala Krishnadas and said, you've got a service. Go to Navadvipa. What a hero he was, going there to tell Mother Sachi and Advaita Acharya that Mahaprabhu had returned from South India. And this is the mood of the devotees, always conspiring to encourage the other devotees to come together and give them some service, to make sure they're okay, to engage them and keep them moving forward, to impel, to encourage. This is Prachodayat. So this is a prayer. Maybe we can say this together. Help me to use my words to plant seeds of encouragement and not weeds of bitterness. So one sentence of pure encouragement can have a profound effect for a lifetime. So I'd like to hear, we have a microphone, we'll just pass it around. Who has had this experience hearing either directly from Prabhupada or from one of the devotees something that encouraged you, that kept you going in Krishna consciousness? Raj. And then Prahlad, and then this one.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. When I was a new devotee, first time seeing Srila Prabhupada coming into his room after arriving back from the airport, and we were told to pay our obeisances very loudly, so I was crying in ecstasy, of course, as everybody else was, and I was falling down like a stick, dandavats, going, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, and halfway to the floor, mid-fall, I realized my bead bag was on my neck, and if it hit the floor, Prabhupada wouldn't be pleased, so in the middle of the fall, paying dandavat, saying my obeisances, I went like this, swung it around my neck just in time, and Prabhupada went, Ja! That's all it took.
Haribo. Prahladananda Swami, and then Radhajivan in the back.
I sent Srila Prabhupada some Lakshmi for his book fund one time, and I asked Prabhupada a question. I said, how does bhava turn into prema? So Prabhupada wrote me back a letter about preaching. And he said, well, the summary of the letter is just go out and distribute Bhagavad Gita all over Buffalo and do Harinam. And he wrote that the boys and girls in your country are generally good souls. That's why they taken birth in such a nice country. So, and they simply have to engage their good qualities in Krishna service to make their life complete. That in San Francisco, this weekend, we had a Rath Yatra, and 10,000 boys and girls were chanting and dancing in full transcendental ecstasy. That I've heard in New York that in just two weeks, they've distributed 3,000 Bhakti Godheads. And I heard that in Buffalo, you're also distributing Bhakti Godhead very nicely. So please continue in this way, and your success in life is assured. As Krishna sees that you're working seriously to bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him. Rest assured.
Haribo! Come on, a little more. He just recited the whole letter he got from Prabhupada. One more time. Yeah. Radhajivan.
Hare Krishna. I was a young boy just out of college, and you know what rich boys do in college. I was stoned all the time, very lazy. And then after that, when I came home after my graduation, my father wanted me to work in his business, work hard, and I didn't like that. And just at that time, I met one brahmachari devotee who had come to my father's house to collect money because there was floods in Mayapur. So I was very attracted to this American young man who had become a Vaishnav sadhu. And while he was preaching to me, he said, our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, said, life is not meant for working hard. It is meant for chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna prasad. And that's what made me a devotee. Last 36.
Siddhanta.
The first words of pure encouragement that I received was the first time that I heard Srila Prabhupada give a lecture in Dallas. And he was talking about in the lecture about chanting Hare Krishna. And he took questions from the audience. And the first question was, what do you personally feel when you chant Hare Krishna? And immediately, without a hesitation, Srila Prabhupada said, I feel no fear. And so, because I was full of fear, and I still am, but I hark back to those words, that is the result of chanting Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Siddhanta. Hare Krishna. Sarva in the middle. In the middle, Sarva, raise your hand so she can see you. There she is.
I'll bring two for me after.
Hello. It's actually unbelievable, but one time Prabhupada had written two letters saying that when I hear the results of my book distribution, it's the only solace in my life. And then another time he said, when I hear the results of book distribution, I feel just like a young man. So at that time, Bhuti Manta was in Australia and had done like 134 books. So I sort of thought with my crazy reasoning that if I could somehow do something nice and break the record, everyone who knows me would think, well, if he can do it, anybody can do it, right? So I went out for months and months and months, and finally one day I did break. I did 138 books, and Ramachandra was kind enough to send the results to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so kind, he wrote back, this is the gratefulness, and he says, I so much appreciate hearing about the report of Sarvabhauma, distributed this. He's very nice. He said, they're all very nice, the book distributors. And then he said, he immediately attempted and Krishna immediately responded. So that's what you're saying about encouragement is just right on.
Jai Sarvo.
This really encouraged me when I was just finding out about Krishna consciousness. I think I read it in the Reservoir of Pleasure that Krishna is that dearmost friend we've always been looking for but could never find. And he's simply waiting for us to come home and to like that. I found that so encouraging.
How do you go?
I saw Jagadatri, okay?
Jagadatri. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama.
Rama, Hare Hare. I had been doing book distribution for some time to the mercy of all those wonderful New Dorka devotees, so I was a brand new devotee. And I finally decided I was, in those days we said, fried. So I was going to India one year, and in London we got off the plane for a break, and somebody had a few books. So I grabbed a book from one of the devotees, because I'd already said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I went up to a very beautifully dressed English businessman, and I gave him the book. And I said, you've got to take this book. This is the last book I'm going to distribute. And he just looked at me and he said, everything is based on desire. So, Srila Prabhupada was talking to me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhau. Kanka in the back.
I became very encouraged when I first met the Hare Krishna people in Berlin, Germany. There was a young couple sitting on the sidewalk chanting with literature all out in front. And the only thing they had in English was Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, had also that essay about who is crazy. And he told us there was a vegetarian feast every Sunday in Hamburg. So I became so encouraged when I saw the devotees, how surrendered they were, and that they could actually follow four regular principles. I'm like, no meat, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And that Prabhupada actually answered every question I had in my own personal spiritual search. So that was my encouragement.
Hare Bhau.
Cult? Oh, this is just a simple story about when I was a brand new devotee, when I moved to San Francisco, I got to live with Jayananda. He was a grihastha then, and he liked sweets, so I made him, first time I ever made a sweet, I made laddu. And so after I gave it to Jayananda, he said, "This is the best laddu I ever had." And later I found out that every time Jayananda took prasadam, he said it was the best. But I was still very encouraged.
Hariba. Okay, now, yes, Sachit Anoy in the front.
Hare Krishna. Speaking about encouragement, I didn't have the fortune to meet Prabhupada. I came like 1.5 years after. I was a travel agent, traveling all over the world, and I was met at the airport by one of Prabhupada's enthusiastic devotees. And it brought me to the temple. So first time I arrived, I never seen Prabhupada before. I never seen, never heard anything about anything, nothing. So that night, after reading the Bhagavad Gita, I had a dream. And Prabhupada appeared, and he said, "Do not worry about anything. I take care of all your needs." And I took that as a direct instruction and a benediction that Prabhupada spoke to me like that. And since that time, every time I have difficulties, just remember that. So although I didn't meet him physically, but I took that as it was that directly speaking. Even in dreams, we can have that special mercy.
Haribol. Yeah.
I don't remember the words of my encouragement, but I remember the devotee. It was Devamata. And I had been going through some personal tribulations and tribulations in my personal life. And it was Radhastami, and I lived a few blocks away from here. And I didn't come to the temple that day. And Devamata showed up at my door with the Maha Feast and a garland. And I'll never forget her for that. That I don't even remember what she said, but that just that gesture was so encouraging to me. I really appreciate it.
Haribo!
When Vishnujan Maharaj or Vishnujan Brahmananda Gargamuni and Subal took sannyas, I was sent to Philadelphia because Subal was the Sankirtan leader. And I went from the Boston temple where I joined, where there was now 50 or 60 devotees, to a little place in Philadelphia that had 4 devotees. And I was missing all my godbrothers and godsisters in Boston. I was very discouraged. And Vishnujan Maharaj himself showed up by himself and kind of took over the position of Sankirtan leader for 2 or 3 weeks before the first president's meeting in New Vrindavan. So it was like a life, new life encouragement.
Haribo. Vish.
Rishabh. So right here in Los Angeles, in Srila Prabhupada's room, I remember in May of 1970, him encouraging us by his beautiful mood, the example of him in his relationship with his Guru Maharaj. We were 4 chosen to open up the San Diego temple. And so we walked into the room. He was going to send us off personally to open up that San Diego temple. And we walked in, I think, all a little proud. And we walked into his room, and he looked up and he said, "I am such a useless old man anymore. I can't go out and do this. So my spiritual master has sent you young boys so that I can still serve him." And so our pride went from bigger than our bodies down to maybe about the size of our soul. And we took that example of Srila Prabhupada, his humility and his consciousness that it was by his own spiritual master's grace that he was able to engage in this service of Mahaprabhu. And in that same mood, we went and very enthusiastically opened the San Diego Temple.
The first time I met Srila Prabhupada, I believe it was 1972 in Laguna Beach. He came there to speak. And it was an amazing experience, as everybody knows. He sat on the Vyasasan and he looked around the room. And that's the year, I believe, he said that Laguna Beach was a community of fallen yogis. And there was many devotees there in the room. Well, they all apparently looked like regular people, but Prabhupada referred to them as devotees. Anyhow, Prabhupada looked at me during that lecture, and it was a very unique experience. It was like Prabhupada was looking at my soul, not at my body or my mind. So it had a great impression on me. That was my first meeting with Prabhupada, and then some months later, Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. I had shaved up and joined the temple in between those times. And he came out to greet the deities in the old temple room here. And I bowed down and paid my obeisances, and I sat up, and Prabhupada was walking by, and he stopped, and he looked at me. And he recognized me. He remembered me from a momentary encounter. And that, I found that so encouraging, that Prabhupada actually remembered me just from moments of meeting him before. He didn't move his lips, but he said to me, "Oh, very nice. Now you've joined us."
Hi, God.
In 1969, when I was just in the process of trying to surrender to Krishna consciousness, the devotees in Vancouver had actually moved into our house because they'd lost their temple. And so we had a lot of discussions about Krishna consciousness, and I was just getting to the point of, you know, maybe believing in Krishna consciousness, but I had one last reservation. My concept of God was, you know, that God is love. And so I had a hard time getting rid of that. So one day we were talking, and I was speaking with actually Upendra Prabhu. A lot of you might know him and or have known him. And I said, well, you know, I really think that, you know, God is just love. You know, that if everyone just loves each other, you know, that's God. Coming from a hippie background, of course. And he said, instead of saying, well, know this, know that, he said, yes, and Krishna is the personification of love. And that was it for me. I surrendered.
Okay, now two more, but only if you came to Krishna consciousness after the year 2000. Yes, in the back.
Well, I was kind of new at the temple, and Dravida Prabhu was helping me in Krishna consciousness. And I chanted 8 rounds the first day I came to the temple, or the first time I came to Mangalarti. And he said, "You must have been a mystic yogi in your previous life." So that was very encouraging. And then later on, he said, "One day you will do the work of 5 people." So he could see that I was, you know, needing some, my false ego was needing some help.
Haribo. Up front. Yeah. Sudeep.
Hare Krishna. All the encouragement that I received was through the association of the wonderful moon-like devotees. And the devotees are the same everywhere, but I found the encouragement a lot from the ISV devotees who I started associating with. I came to ISV after I was distressed with a few things that were going on. And the devotees were so nice. Their conduct was impeccable. They were going out on book distribution every single day. They were so very nice. And then I sat through Vaisheshika Prabhu's Vyasa Puja. I wasn't doing my rounds regularly, probably 2 here or 4 here and there. And that Vyas Puja, after watching the Vyas Puja, after sitting through the Vyas Puja, something within me just said, okay, that's it. If I have to be among the devotees, which I so very much like to do, from next day, I'm doing my 16 rounds. And it just happened. So thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So here's a mantra, fan the spark. Everywhere we go, there are living entities. They're all pervading. And every living entity needs encouragement. And all we need to do is think in these terms. How can I encourage someone to become more enthusiastic about their devotional service? If we think like this, then we become prachodakas. We're following in the footsteps of the acharyas, whose main business in life it is to make a field so that everyone is able to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead and go back to Godhead. Everyone please say, fan the spark. Srila Prabhupada, everyone he met, he had the same motive, because as Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, Krishneti yasya giritam marasadriyeta dikshasti chet praniti bishcha bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajanam vignam ananyamanya nindari shunya hridam ipsasathangalabhya. That the topmost devotee has a heart free from the propensity to criticize others. And if you're free from the propensity to criticize others, what else are you going to do in life except encourage others? There's nothing else to do. So you have to do something, right? So this is our business. Sankirtan means to encourage others, to bring them forward, to bring them closer to Krishna. That's what makes the whole spiritual world move. And that's what makes our movement move, is the encouraging propensity. So we have another mantra. Encourage the heck out of everyone, because heck gets in people and it's not very nice. So everyone please say, encourage the heck out of everyone. Just try this everywhere you go. Look for a fan to spark. Look how to encourage people wherever you go. And you'll find that your entire environment changes also around you. Because when you're giving that encouragement, it comes back to you. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a quote from Prabhupada, actually. I used to sign my letters like this, go, go, go. And then one day, I forget why I did it, but I did a Vedabase search for the words go, go, go. And I found two places where Prabhupada says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sending out his devotees everywhere saying, go, go, go. So two places he mentions this. So we want to encourage devotees to go, go, go. And now we'll take a couple of more reflections about anything. I particularly wanted to mention about the fact that sets of books are available. We're shipping over about 800 more sets of Srimad Bhagavatams. For some time in America, we've only been distributing a couple hundred a year. And then we realized up at our temple at ISV that all you have to do to sell sets of Bhagavatams is get them. Because people are looking for them, and it's not a very high price to pay. It's only $220 for a full set of Srimad Bhagavatams. You can gasp now. I'll say it again and then really gasp. They're only $220 for a full set of Srimad Bhagavatams. Because people throw away money on everything. They're wasting their lives. And if they get one set of Srimad Bhagavatams, one thing that happens is they have to make room for it in their house. It's not just the money. When people put it in their house, they're thinking, I'm committing to something in a major way here. And when you go into their house, you can do an installation ceremony. You put the books in and you can do some puja. You can have a kirtan. So now when the devotees are going door to door, they have the madanga, kartals, everything ready. And they bring the books in. When someone invites you in the house, bring in the set. Put it in there. It's like installing a deity. In India, there's a rule that if you buy some property and put the deity on it, no one can move you. So same thing. If someone invites you in their house, bring the full set with you and put it inside. And then just stay until they take the full set. This is one technique. People are dying for these books. And when they take them into their homes, their entire lives change. And this is a worthy occupation, to take out these divine literatures, give people a chance to look at them, to be stimulated to go back home, back to Godhead. Today we're dedicating this entire program to Ruchi Das, who is one of the great book distributors of all time. He's, you'll see on the board here, his life dedicated to book distribution. And I remember how he was always reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That was, in any spare time, he said, let's go read Bhagavatam. He'd go to a separate place. And then his sister, Diana, who's carrying his legacy, she always brings this board. And you can just see the encouragement that Ruchi was giving to everyone. It passed on to her sister, and now she's encouraged to come to the temple to do service, to glorify her exalted brother. Let's hear it for Ruchi Das. Hare Krishna. Okay, a couple of questions or reflections really quick. Yes. Okay, that's off. We got to turn it on.
It's a wonderful Sankirtan story that also touches upon the previous quote that you had about being inspired. I was doing Sankirtan. It was in the 1980, I think. I was in Ermenonville in France, and Ananta Rupini, I was going out with her at the time. She had one photo of Lord Balaram, just a face, and it was just stunning and gorgeous. And just remember, in France, we don't have as many pictures and paraphernalia as you have here in America, because, you know, everything came, you know, later on. So when I saw that photo, I said, oh my God, I gotta have this. She said, well, you can have the photo if you do 6,000 French francs today. So it was like, done. So remember, 6,000 French francs back then was about $1,200. And I'm talking about, what, 30 years ago. I said, you'll have it at the end of the day. So I went that day. I went into a total trance. And I was at praying Lord Balaram all day long. I did four full sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I came out with exactly 6,000 French francs. So I came at the end of the day. I said, here it is. She said, here's your photo. And I still have it by my bedside.
Hadibo. So. Rameshwar Prabhu is in the corner. Far corner. Rameshwar.
I wanted to share some words from the first letter that I ever received from Srila Prabhupada. And the occasion was at the end of the first Sankirtan Christmas Marathon. There were about 40 temples throughout the world at that time. And we were publishing, I think, 20,000 Back to Godhead magazines a month for the whole world to distribute. In a three-day marathon, the devotees of New Dwarka distributed 18,000 literatures in 3 days. And we wrote to Prabhupada the scores, and Prabhupada couldn't believe it. He started sending telegrams around the world. Did you hear the news? He sent a telegram to Brahmananda in Africa, and he sent one to Tamal. And then he wrote me a letter, which was really for all the devotees. And in that letter, he wrote that he was praising the devotees who were going out on book distribution. And he said, it is so wonderful that these boys and girls in Los Angeles and all over the world, so it was meant for everyone, are understanding and appreciating the unique quality of our transcendental literature. And voluntarily, they are going out to distribute, despite all circumstances of difficulty. The immortal words are coming. By this effort alone, they are all assured to go back to home, back to Godhead.
Sudeep.